I entitled my message this week, God Knows Your Heart. Now, what's that mean, God knows your heart? Well, you know, in this world, we are in the world, not of the world. You know, the devil can play tricks on your mind. He cannot read your mind, but he can play tricks on your mind. But God knows your mind, and he knows your heart. He even knows what you're thinking before you think it or when you act on it. But what does it mean that God knows your heart? Well, in the story in Luke chapter 16, Jesus was telling them that God knows your heart. And he was speaking to the Pharisees, the men of the day that lived double lives. And outwardly they sought public approval while they were making a point of following all the religious laws, working hard. I am to impress people, and I appear godly and wise. But, I love the buts and the ifs, you know. God knew their hearts, and he saw right through their phony, pious displays of what was on the inside. God knew the heart of the Pharisees, and that they served money, and they were only generous with their money on public occasions when others could see them given. Despite their strict religious fervor, they cultivated godliness and godless values, just like the unbelieving worldly crowd. So, when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets, they were saying, or as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by the others. No, Jesus said, truly I tell you, they have already received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. God knows your heart. He knows your motives. He knows everything about you. It's a concept that's throughout the Bible, all the way through the Genesis to the book of Revelation, that God knows your heart. God sees what is done in secret, and his eyes, it says in 2 Chronicles, that his eyes range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And he knows the motives behind every action because he knows every heart. After all, he created us in his image. So since God knows our heart, I think we ought to always try to live to please him alone, and not worry about impressing people. I think that's the lesson that Jesus teaches in Luke 16. See, at first, it really does. It seems confusing. Why is Jesus praising that unlawful manager? Why is that? Well, he really isn't. He's telling us that if we get in the habit of doing good things, either out of habit, with a strategy or restitution, they may lead us into doing them for the right reasons, or actions don't always follow words or commitment. And sometimes commitment, understanding, and empathy comes as a result of action. But in the meantime, a good deed is still a good deed, amen? And a better than a bad one. So, the story of the rich man, Jesus always uses metaphors in these parables and stories. And he talks about a manager. That would be us, God's steward. And the manager was apparently squandering the rich man's property. So in other words, instead of stewarding the property to the benefit of the owner, honoring both owner and property, the manager was taking advantage. He was sort of like skimming for himself and doing what he liked and benefited financially from the arrangement. No doubt overcharging customers and keeping the excess. And when confronted, he was challenged. And he was fired from his post. Now the manager is worried. He lost his job. He doesn't know how to get by. So he decides to gift as many people as he can through the business in the time that he had left on the job, so that he can assure friends who will invite him and care for him and make sure he doesn't go hungry. Look, I gave to you guys, and now I need some help too. And he calls everybody into his office who owes the owner money and reduced their debt. At this, the owner commends the dishonest manager because he actually acted with a shrewd intent. and he had made friends by correcting the dishonest wealth he had collected from the unknowing victim through the years. Instead of taking, he now starts begin giving. Well, I think he unknowingly, despite a selfish strategic plan, represented his owner's company much more authentically than he did in forgiving. As citizens of the kingdom of God, people have been taken advantage of initially under the dishonest steward, suffering great costs, and now they were being given the abundance of grace and say, yeah, rewrite the bill and all this. And why is that important? Because everything the steward does reflects directly upon the owner. Everything the steward does reflects directly upon the owner. By forgiving and reducing their debts, although seemingly seemed selfish reasons, he had in fact reflected well upon the owner. Now, if a worldly or dishonest man can inadvertently do good, although for selfish reasons, imagine how good a follower of Jesus Christ could do for the right reasons. But what does it matter anyhow? What we do really does matter. That's why. And how we represent God in our lives and our interaction with others in our everyday dealings, whether it's in the church or in the world, it matters. For when people look at us as Christian, they imagine the intentions of God. Now, being a Christian is and has always been a huge responsibility. We do not realize the extent of the influence that we have upon those around us as Christ followers. Are we living out faith in ways that others would recognize? Are we acting in ways that would make Jesus smile and nod and say, "Ooh, well done, good and faithful servant"? I think this is the question that Jesus is posing for all of us. So when we sit down with someone whose son or daughter has died, as a Christian, what we say in that moment really matters. That person will never forget your words and your will that associated them with God's blessing or curse upon his or her life. Sometimes words are necessary, and other times just being in the presence brings a wonderful message of peace when somebody passes away. Just a hug means a lot. But when we give somebody money, means, or food, what we've done really matters. Because in that moment, that person understands the abundance of God's grace and caring as a result of your act. So when we hear someone's story or accept their past without judgment, our open understanding and kind of humility matters, doesn't it? For in that moment, that person understands the magnitude of God's grace. And when we forgive someone's anger, or we forgive someone's sin, or mistake, or our acts of love matter, for in that moment that the person will see Jesus in your eyes. Now, Jesus advises us, and he gives us some wonderful wisdom. He said, we cannot serve God and ourselves. One must take priority, and if we want our lives to matter, if we want to be worthy stewards of God's style of grace and mercy in the world, and if we want to be true followers of Christ and be honest disciples, then God must come first. Now, I can't tell you how often as a pastor I've heard people in my life say, I met people in the secular world who are so much kinder and less judgmental and more compassionate than the Christians that I know. Well, there was a fellow by the name of Gandhi himself. He had a famous saying. He said about, I like your Christ, but I do not like your Christians. Now, in his mind, most Christians had failed to act with the compassion and the love and respect and understanding that Jesus taught and modeled. That's what Gandhi was saying. I like your Christ, but I don't like the Christians. That's heart-wrenching, isn't it? And often Christians get caught up with doctrine, rules, behavior, religiosity, and selfish motives and divisions and judgment, that they can end up as Christians in theory, but not in practice. So Jesus is not condemning the dishonest manager for being dishonest. He's noting that though inadvertent with selfish intent, he has taken the dishonest money that he scammed initially and had ironically ended up representing the owner in a way of a more authentic and beneficial way. So if a non-religious person who does things for selfish reasons can do so much good and represent God so well in the end, how much better could it be an actual follower of Christ that do good with good intentions and follows through with actions that reflect on the kind of true and merciful nature of God? If only, says Jesus, our religious leadership would represent God so well in their own dealings with people, then Jesus' disciples that he would hope would do better, as we are followers in Christ. For those who follow Jesus must not only trust in the promises made to them, but they must share those promises and God's abundant grace with others through prayer and through means. They're not just followers of Jesus in private, but also in practice. Wow. I love that song. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. So sometimes, simply by allowing the kindness of your heart to overflow into everything you say and do, you have others to experience that love, maybe for the very first time, with just your act of kindness and what it feels like to be a child of the living God and a receipt of God's kingdom, riches, and grace. Now, evangelism, that word evangelism, has been thrown around over the years, some good, some bad, but the word has been usurped and strangled sometimes by those who abuse its intent. It is so much easier than you think. Are you really need to do? That's all you need to do is keep your heart rooted in Jesus and allow your actions to follow. As Jesus said, from where your heart is rooted, your devotion and love will flow. Just imagine if your heart stayed rooted in Christ every day of your life. Imagine the lives that you will touch and the hearts that you'll change. Imagine. You heard me say many times that one of the most wonderful things is to imagine yourself into a situation with the Scriptures. Put yourself in there. And to understand what it means to be a follower of Christ. It's a big job, big responsibility. But when your heart is changed from where it used to be in the worldly sense and changed for the goodness that God gives to us, God truly knows your heart. And he knows that you are doing things with the right motive and the right attitude. In Jesus' name, hope and pray that you know this Jesus in a personal and loving way. He is your friend, and he wants to be your friend. And, you know, if you have a friend in the secular world, you know how important it is. And you develop that relationship with that friend. Get to know them better. I'm going to be doing a little series in the next couple of weeks about Jesus as your friend. And hope and pray that if you haven't really thought about having Jesus as your friend, that you will do that. Open your heart and let him in. Well, I hope and pray you have a good day. Hoping to see you in person sometime soon. God loves you and so do we.